All right, guys, I've had a real good bowl week, in my opinion. I think we practiced a lot of intensity. Was out there getting after it today. Really good. Had a hard day. We'll finish up in the morning. The 9:30 practice. Hopefully the guys will be out of here by noon, so they'll have that afternoon and 22nd, 23rd, 24th off, and we'll fly back down on Christmas Day and then start practicing and have a normal week on the 26th going down. But guys have done a really good job. Got intensity's been good. And hopefully we need to get down and play well. We need to finish the season off right. Execution of all the young guys, you can see them get better in bowl practice. So got some good camp days in, like I say. We went back to the formats we had then. First four practices, got back to fundamentals. Guys did a real good job. Then we started, working in the game plan. So the majority of it's in, and you feel good, and you'll polish it and add a few things here and there when you get down there possibly. But the majority of things, what you're going to do, so have a good idea. But been very proud of the kids and the way they went at it. So looking forward to a great opportunity to get down to Jacksonville and hopefully play a good game against a very good NC State team. Questions?
Gabe?
Jimbo, in terms of guys, whether they're seniors or whether they're contemplating leaving early, we haven't heard anything about anybody missing the game. Is everybody planning on playing in the game?
Yes, that are not injured.
Right. And then what's your message to those guys on things like this in this new climate with people leaving?
Well, listen, it's the last time you get to play with your teammates, but also it's the last time you get to impress the scouts. I mean, there's been a few guys that have gotten hurt in the past, but it hasn't been as many guys as you think that really have that bowl game has been a – something's happened to any of them. I mean, it's never happened. I mean, to where guys maybe dropped a round or so with an injury, which you don't want anybody to get injured, but that can happen at any time. As many guys get hurt training for the combine sometimes, and I think it's a great opportunity. But now that's their choice, and I support them in every way they go. But all those guys want to finish. They want to win a bowl game. They haven't been on the winning side of that, most of them, since they've been here and won a bowl game. I believe there's only two guys here that won a bowl game. They were fifth-year guys, and that's Fry and Gilly that have been around. At least that's what raised their hand in the meeting anyway. So we want to do a good job of hopefully they want to go out with a great taste in their mouth, hopefully getting back in the top 10, 15, wherever we could get to with a good win against a great team and set the program on a good direction and them go out with a great taste in their mouth winning a bowl game. So, there's nobody, those guys have all wanted to do it.
To the back, Darryl.
Coach, do you look at the bowl game as a finish of the 2018 season or a springboard in the 2019?
2018, because you say springboard, but it gives a good taste. I think this is a learning experience. You have to learn how to play bowl games. This is the only sport in the world where you play your whole season and then wait a month to play. There's nothing, no other sport, whether it's playoffs or bowls or whatever. I mean, everything else starts immediately. So there's an art to learning that. So we want to learn how to prepare for that, how to do that for the preparation for our future. But this is still this year's team. This team will never be together again. This group of guys will never, ever get to play together again on one team. A team only has a 1 year life expectancy. It's almost a 6 month by the time you get the new guys in the summer. And, that's the only time they get to experience it. So hopefully there's some learning experiences from this that will springboard into the next year that will really help us on things as we move forward. But at the end of the day, it's finishing this year.
The left cease.
Has Sternberger been healthy? Has he been practicing every game, and is everybody else healthy?
Yeah, we got some guys that are banged up. Sternberger just delayed. He practiced the first five or six practices. He had a temperature the last two or three. It's a virus. I mean, it's nothing, no injury or anything like that. He had a temperature, and they're getting fluids in him and a virus. But he practiced the first, I'll say, five, six guys, yes. Practices or whatever it was. He missed the last two or three, maybe three, two or three. How long the virus has been. Why would it be on Twitter?
down front, Brent.
Sick, I guess. Everything's got to be on social media now.
I think you've added a tight end since yesterday in Jalen. Do you wait for his birthday? Is that right? And a little bit about him.
He's a 6'5", 235, 40-pound guy. Had 40-some catches, almost 800-some yards, 9-10 touchdowns that can get vertical, that can run just like cut both those guys into 4-5s. I mean, ball skills, physical, can run, really good basketball player in high school. I mean, blessed to have him. I love those two tight ends we got. I mean, I actually love them. I mean, I think they're big-time players. I really do.
Go back to the back, Darryl.
Coach, I struggle with people's names at times. Can you say his name just so I don't screw it up? The guy you signed today?
Wiedemeyer.
Okay. And then my actual question to you is, you come in here after ball games and you almost have a great memory of what all happened. Looking at a snapshot of the 2018 season, is there a particular play that you would say is your most memorable, maybe the top play of the year?
I'd have to think about that, I guess.
And if you want to come back to it, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, there's so many. I mean, because there's – you say one play. I mean, you know, you always say you don't ever give up. Like I was just talking about our guys there. I mean, in the LSU game, we had a chance to get down there, and we missed a fourth down, and our defense didn't go out and didn't hang their head, went out and got a big stop and got the ball back, and then the offense goes down, and you fought, and you found a way to get it. You know, we had 1 second on the clock. You never give up. I think that whole drive, to me, might have culminated what our season stands for, that those guys believe in everything we're doing. The defense did an outstanding job of getting the ball back. The offense never gave up till the time went out on the clock. They were able to execute a situation and then carried on in. I mean, maybe that from the top of my head, maybe. But, I mean, you know, these guys, listen, this group of guys, we may not have always played perfectly, and then we have to coach better and do a better job in that, but their heart, soul in that, and that's the big thing we wanted to get accomplished here, and they did that for sure.
Down front, let Zach and then Brent.
Jimbo, Mike Elko's name came up in a couple of coaching searches, mm-hmm. but being able to keep him here and just how important is that going forward and your time here?
Well, I think it's always important, but also you got to understand if you have success and people want to have the people from your tree and the things that you do to organize people and you get good coaches, they're going to have opportunities. That's what this business is about. But, you know, I think Mike sees what we're building, and I think he's being very selective in the things he goes after, you know what I mean, and where he does. He's going to be a head coach. He's going to be a great head coach. There's no doubt. He's a very sharp guy in a lot of areas, but those are things that goes. But it's great to have him, definitely, especially being the first year and going back in the second year for these guys and the continuity which it brings across the table, there's no doubt.
Down front, Brent.
I was going to ask you about that LSU game. I think ESPN named it the number one game of the season. In the few weeks since, having time to reflect on it, what kind of reaction have you gotten from
the
recruits?
I haven't had time to reflect on it. I've been recruiting. I've been recruiting and in bowl practice. But you get great response out on the road. Everybody said they saw it, they saw it, they saw it, or they saw a part of it. They saw it and went away and then came back, and or they heard about it and ran to a TV and watched it. I mean, it was a very talked about thing when you everywhere you went, people know, because people love to see kids compete at the highest levels. And like I say, that game was about, I don't think it was about one team making mistakes. It was just two teams making play after play after play. And, you know, people love watching good competition and great ball.
We'll go Gabe, Olin, and then Justin.
I know the bowl's about 2018, but how important is it? Every single rep so important for Kellen Mond and his continued growth. How important is the bowl game moving forward?
Well, I think all of them are, because you think about, we'll have about 15 practices, what we'll have. That's exactly the same number you have in spring practice. I mean, that's what you get out of it. And then at times, it's hard to get better in football if you don't have pads on. I mean, all that stuff is great in shorts. You can get time and you can get rhythm. But this game, especially when the big guys, the front seven guys, and if you don't have pads on, it's hard to get better. And you get, this gives you another spring practice before you go into spring. And that's the way you get, that's the way you develop. And it's big for all those guys, but, you know, and the development of everything.
Okay, Olin.
Coach, if I can take you back to that question about the about guys playing in the bowl game. And, yeah, you know, everybody across the country that set out would have that opportunity to play another game with their team. Do you have any sense at all why it seems to be important to your guys to play?
Well, I think they're very close-knit. I think they care about each other. I think it matters to them. And I think they want to finish something, and I think they like where they're going and what they've started and how they're playing and the respect they're getting for how they compete in the game. And they understand that they have each other's back. And some guys just like to play. I mean, how many times you actually get to line up and play in college? And pro, I mean, how many times? And you don't want to do one of them. I'm not critiquing or criticizing anybody for doing it. I understand it. But some of these guys just love playing. I mean, they like playing. Like for each other. I'd say something else. You may want to ask them.
We'll go
probably
to the
give
left.
You a better answer than I got.
That's it. We'll get a couple more.
Dotson will have one. I know that.
Justin.
Coach, how anxious are you to see how your secondary maligned at times this year, played mm-hmm. good at times? Anxious to see how they respond to going against a quarterback of Finley's caliber.
Oh, it is now. This guy's really good. I went against him. I know him myself. I mean, this guy's a heck of a player. He knows what's going on. I mean, he's very methodical, surgical when he does things, understands how to play and what he does. And it's going to be a heck of a challenge, there's no doubt. And hopefully we can get some pressure somehow. I know they really got two All-Americans up front in the offensive line. So we're going to have to find ways to get pressure. We've got to find ways to mix looks up. And they're going to have to cover some guys and make some plays. So it's going to be a great challenge. And I am. I'm anxious to watch them play.
We'll go front left, Zach, and then Brent, you wrap us up. We got some players coming.
Jimbo, talking about Finley, and it's a team that you know pretty well in NC State. Also played Clemson earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Also going back to Florida. So it almost kind of seems like the past keeps repeating itself in some ways.
Yeah. History is your greatest teacher, and your past, it always comes back up, though, and you are what you are. But no, it is. It's just ironic. And there's a lot of great bowl games in Florida, and we had a really good year, so we get an opportunity to go play in one of them. And, you know, so it's a great opportunity. And like I say, this happened to come against a common opponent, but that's the matchup. You know, again, it's going to be Dave does a heck of a job coaching those guys. He's brought them along. Since he's been there in the program, he's built and what he's done. And they've won 10 or 11 last year and 9 this year, and I mean they've done a great job, and it's gonna be a heck of a challenge.
Brent, you'll wrap us up before we get players.
Two-parter to wrap things.
All right.
A lot of talk in the past few weeks about expansion. What do you think of the 4-team, 8-team, 16? What are your 16? What are your thoughts on that?
There's got to be a way, because listen, do you want the four best teams? Or do you want politically the four best teams? Got to be a way to figure it out. I mean, maybe 8 teams is, but you know, it's ironic. How many times did we really get it wrong when there was 2 teams? I mean, I say this, and we joke about it. I didn't realize this the other day because I won't pay attention to it. We got 2 semifinal games. We got 2 double-digit underdogs. Isn't that kind of ironic? I mean, and I don't know if the top's that much different or what goes on, how you pick things and what goes on. And it's hard because here's the thing. Everybody's leagues aren't the same. And it's hard to judge with what happens in the competition and what you're going. So, I mean, you're going to get everybody represented, which I understand. I was in another league. I understand that totally. Or do you want the four best teams? So, I mean, maybe it is to expand it. But I think you're taking away from the bowl games too then. But then how many of the kids are playing in bowl games? I mean, how many of you guys you got sitting out? So it's going to be an interesting – you know, once you started the playoff, it's affecting college football because you do kids on the bowl game part of it, the other things that go. It's – I don't know the answer to it. I really don't. I mean, but I'm going to say this. I'll bet it expands eventually. I think you got too many commissioners whose teams are being left out, too many things are going on, there's too much money to be made. But how do you do it and still play? Because let me tell you something. They say, well, the bowl games don't matter. They do in those 15 practices we just had. Listen, these kids only got so much time to develop and have a chance to get to play the NFL or play every time they ever get to expose just as in college. That's a whole spring practice you're going to take away by you say the bowls don't matter. The bowls do matter because they matter in player development and how guys practice and what they do. And I think that's going to be interesting how you match it. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, we're talking about taking conference championship games away. And some conferences want them, some conferences don't. I mean, because the SECs is so dynamic. I mean, it's been that way. It's sold out. It's, like I said, I've been in national championship games, and I don't know if they're any more loud or pressure-packed than the SEC championship games that I played in. And I mean that honestly. I've been in both. I mean, both of them, the intensity is great. Some teams don't relevant. I mean, think they're as relevant. But that's what makes the world go around. And I guess, you know, as long as you have different – you got 5 different bodies when you really think about it. You don't have one voice. You got 5 different voices. Everybody's voicing for their own league. You know what I'm saying? You got to fight for it. So I think you're always going to have this controversy, and I think it'll eventually expand because everybody's going to have to get a piece of the pie.
And a little bit out of left field on this one, but how did you, having been here a year now, how did you see this community react in terms of burying a president, a revered man around here, and that?
Oh, I mean, to say you were actually here to be a part of something of that relevance, you don't ever get that opportunity in a lifetime. I mean, the Bush family and what A&M embraces them so hard. I mean, what the Bushes do for A&M. I mean, I think both sides, and to have it be able to walk. I mean, people die to go to the president, be able to walk down the street and go to a presidential library right here. I think it's unbelievable. I mean, it's an unbelievable experience and something that, you know, in your lifetime that you were, you don't say lucky. I mean, you don't want anyone to pass away, but something that was really relevant that most people in the world never get an opportunity to be a part of or be around. And A&M, I know, loves the Bushes, and the Bush family obviously loves A&M. So I think it's a very, very unique relationship.